All of our baseball camp people rested up for another day at it. All right. It's good to have Daniel and Hamilton. You guys stand up for a moment. This is Daniel Murphy. Stand up here with a little beer going. This is Hamilton Bennett. They have come a long ways to help us. You weren't with us yesterday at baseball camp. You missed a great testimony by Hamilton, and Daniel's going to share his this afternoon with the kids. And I know just a little bit of Daniel's, and I know it's powerful, but Hamilton's was definitely powerful yesterday. Thank you again for sharing that. Appreciate it very much. I know it spoke to me as I was sitting over there listening and watching the kids pay attention to you share your heart with them. And did they? I did. I paid attention. That was pretty good right there. You know? But I knew the Chick-fil-A was already there. So, yeah, Daniel, I knew you knew the Chick-fil-A was there. But it was a great time yesterday. God blessed us with beautiful, beautiful weather, as he has today. We get ready to go out there and do it again. So I hope that if you can't come out and hang out with us, at least be praying for us this afternoon, okay? A couple things. Jay wanted to remind you guys that next Sunday is the last Sunday to get our Operation Christmas Child boxes to him. This is actually National Collection Week. Okay, but next Monday, he has to take them to get them to the appropriate people, so therefore they will have time to get where they need to get. Okay, so if you have Christmas boxes today, you need to get them to Jay and Julie, or this coming week, get ready to get them here by next Sunday. Okay, very, very important. Another thing I want to tell you, because I know some of you will go into the back and do other things during the 11, is next Sunday, on Sunday, not going to wait till Thanksgiving service on Monday, is we're actually going to have our trailer, the white trailer, parked out here, and we desire to fill that with non-perishable food items to take down the Savannah Baptist Center food pantry. So you can go ahead and bring those next Sunday, okay? Anything that's non-perishable food item. I'm not sure, Terry, Dusty, Regina, how low right now is the Baptist Center food pantry? Very low. Okay. All right, quick and easy is kind of the way I define that. Quick and easy, where they can just get to it and do what they need to do with it, okay? So next Sunday, we're going to push to fill that trailer full. And last year, we did a really, really good job of doing that, okay? And then next Monday night, of course, will be our Thanksgiving service. You can bring items then, too. But next Monday night, 7 o'clock, right here, we're going to do that, okay? Before we watch a little video here, I'm going to pray for us. And then this video we're going to watch this morning is kind of one of those things where I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe in the divine sovereignty of a good and heavenly Father. And this video we're getting ready to watch, I was just flipping channels the other night, and I came across a program that ESPN has. It's an excellent show called E60. They profile individual people. Some are well-known athletes. Some are kids, people will never meet on this side of heaven. And I watched this little thing on Randall Cunningham, and it really spoke to my heart. And I got to thinking about, why did it speak to my heart? Why? It wasn't just a feel-good story, but why? And so as I was watching it, I felt like God said to me afterwards, because Dane, you need to understand how personal my sovereignty is. Let me say that for you again, how personal my sovereignty is. We know God is everywhere all the time. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. We know that, but there's an intimacy to it. It's personal. And so this morning, that's what we're going to talk about, the sovereignty of God. But I want you to watch this video, and it's not short. It's actually over 11 minutes. So you, even if you don't know who Randall Cunningham is, you'll know who he is after this video, okay? So I'm going to pray for us, and then John will cue it up. Father, bless you this morning. Praise and glory about you and to you and for you. God, we have seen your faithfulness to us over and over and over again just this week. Lord, we have felt your presence. Lord, at times we even acknowledged it. But Lord, not all the time. So Lord, I would ask this morning, make your presence known. May we choose to tune in to the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, John.
The best stories in sports. This is an E60 feature presentation.
Water in Las Vegas is precious, be it a trickle through the desert landscape, the spray of a casino's fountain, or here at the home of former NFL superstar Randall Cunningham, the total immersion of baptism.
Congratulations, big guy.
Yeah. And I
trust. This is 48-year-old Randall Cunningham's new life. His church, founded 7 years ago. His worship team. His congregation. Hundreds gathered to hear Pastor Randall preach.
Take all of your energies and direct them right there to God's throne.
When I'm worshiping God, there's no place like it.
God is moving on behalf of his people.
You know, he's still in the spotlight on a Sunday because he's the pastor. He gets up and he delivers a message.
The pressure is more up there. It's not a playbook that I can have errors with.
Yet not even proclaiming the good news offers protection from the worst news imaginable. When faith is challenged.
Jesus on three. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Cunningham with the play action. Now he starts to take off. He is bouncing around. Now takes off to the far side. He is faking and then ducking and then cutting across the 40 to the 45. And Randall with a 10-yard gain. I don't know how he did it.
What Michael Vick might someday become, Randall Cunningham was. Nearly 30,000 career passing yards, as well as almost 5,000 rushing yards.
Randall Cunningham, he was one of the first supreme athletes to play that position. He put his own spin on the quarterback play in the NFL, the way he could run around.
He's gonna roll right. He's gonna
he plays
roll
alive and launching.
Puts it in the air. Fires, and it's complete on the far side of the field, and running down the sideline for a touchdown is Mike Quick.
He could get out and contort his body into positions and escape some places that, you know, you wouldn't think he could do.
Randall faking, now rolling with the football and being flattened at the 10, but throwing the ball and throws for a touchdown.
Amid these flashbulb-worthy wonders, Cunningham made 4 Pro Bowls. Yet in 11 seasons, he led the Eagles to just 1 playoff win. Even his identity off the field seemed to unsettle fans and teammates.
I was an enigma to people back then. I didn't want people to figure me out. And yes, I did hang out with, you know, people like Johnny Gill from New Edition and Arsenio Hall. That star status, it almost grabbed me. And it almost pulled me in to saying, all right, I'm with the best, or I'm with the known.
We cultivated really our own family life with friends that had nothing to do with football, and a lot of people had a problem with that, yes, because they felt excluded. Well, who does he think he is?
By 1995, Cunningham had been benched and had had enough.
I hated football my last year. I was riding the bench, and I couldn't stand that. I became a prideful person at one point in my career.
Why was that a bad thing?
Pride always comes before the fall.
At age 33, he would take his ball and go home to Vegas, where he'd played his college ball and open a marble and granite company.
People would come up to me and say, no, this is not you. Randall Cunningham wouldn't do this. He wouldn't be on the floor dirty and scraping a floor. But that was not what God was doing in my life. He was allowing me to humble myself under his mighty hand.
The Lord does have a way of breaking us.
What broke your husband?
Definitely sitting out when he sat out. Because really, I think in his heart, he still wanted to play.
Then on a Saturday evening, Randall Cunningham slipped into the back of Pastor John Michael's service at Calvary Church Spring Valley. Thereafter, he would call Pastor John every day.
He wanted to know if God wanted him to go to Minnesota. Then he wanted to know if God wanted him to go to Dallas. Then he wanted to know if God wanted him to go to the Ravens. And And I told him he was asking the wrong person. He needed to be asking God.
His prayers were answered with the Vikings. The 1998 season became Cunningham's signature year, running a record-setting offense.
Wants it deep. Got Moss down there. There's the ball. Oh!
Only an overtime field goal by Morton Anderson kept the Vikings from Super Bowl 33.
The kick is on the way, it's up and it's gone. The Falcons have stolen the thunder from the Vikings.
After the game, I'm trying to figure out, God, how can you bring me to the pinnacle of success after retiring and then not let me go to the Super Bowl? Oh, never mind, God. Your sovereignty is enough for me. And
must have taken a little longer than that.
No, it didn't.
In 2002, at age 39, Cunningham would retire for good.
Pastor John came up to me and said, we've got to get you ordained. Are you talking to me? He's talking to me, Pastor?
He knew down deep inside, even though he was fighting me, that this is what he had to do. He knew it was a calling on his life.
Cunningham was ordained as a non-denominational minister in 2004 and founded Remnant Ministries.
Hey, finish with the hand going through here.
Sports has remained in his family's life. His son, Randall II, is a highly regarded high school quarterback in Las Vegas.
See the difference?
Best known for his strong arm and elusiveness.
In 2009, when the Eagles put him into the team's honor roll, he brought his youngest son, Christian, to hear the cheers.
And I thank my church for letting me have a day off. God bless all you guys.
Nine months later, Cunningham's faith would be tested in the late afternoon of June 29th, 2010.
I'm driving home and I see police cars at my house. I literally know that God was carrying me at that point because I went into my house and I said, where is my son?
With his parents out of the house, under the care of a family friend, in the outdoor spa where his father had baptized so many to be born again, 2.5-year-old Christian Cunningham had drowned.
I said, Lord, we just thank you for this day. I said, you're the giver of life and you're the taker of life. And I said, I thank you for the 2.5 years you gave us little Christian. We didn't deserve him that long. I said, but I thank and I love you more today than I did yesterday, God.
How could you say those words after you had just lost your son?
It was the power of God. And I don't have a choice to ask him why. I don't have a choice to second-guess his decisions.
Felicity had gone to the hospital where Christian's body had been taken. There, Randall would comfort his wife.
I looked at her and I said, look me in my face. You will not carry this. This is not your burden. This is not your fault. God made the decision. And she said, I did everything I could. She said, I laid on him like the prophets, and I tried to bring him back to life, but God didn't bring him back. I said, honey, you have to let him go. I said, you have to let him go. And I took him in my arms, and his head went like this, and that hurt me. And I put his head by my shoulder. I said, I'm sorry that I wasn't there. And I just held him. And then I said, honey, we got to leave him here. I said, we have to go. And I had to put his body down. I said, this is not our child anymore. Our child is in heaven. He has a new heavenly body. And I laid him on the bed, and we had to walk away.
There would be no civil or criminal charges of any kind filed. Then, 3 days later.
We've been grieving since last Tuesday. It's time to rejoice now. That's not Christian in that box. He's in the arms of the Father. He's being loved by the Daddy, the true Daddy. I was his earthly father. But our father's with him now. Hallelujah, somebody. Come on. Hallelujah.
Cunningham returned to performing baptisms in that same outdoor spa where his son's life had ended. Others were born anew. Yet, as the Bible says, to everything there is a season. And in August of this year, Pastor Randall had a new message to bring to his church.
Let me share something with you guys. Put your seatbelts on. Because I guess right now is a good time to tell you that Felicity and I are expecting our sixth child.
This baby will not replace our son, but this baby is another child. And so that we have been given, and I'm thankful. I never thought I would have a baby at 44.
Everyone has trials in life, and I've gone through my share of trials. But God has been great through it all, and I'm, you know, still standing.
God does not do anything in vain. He always has a plan and a purpose for everything we go through in life, church. Amen.
If I didn't say anything to you, I think the video conveyed a lot. I mean, that's about the fourth time I've watched it. And this morning, I just kind of used that to get us prompted to be thinking about the sovereignty of God in our lives and the personal part. And we're going to look at some scriptures this morning that John has up there, going to put them up there for us as he sees fit. And then we're going to share some questions with you, have some interaction time. And there's probably almost any scripture that we would want to talk about this morning could have displayed the sovereignty of God. So I picked a few for us. We're going to start with Revelation 21:6a. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." The book ends. He's everywhere. John? Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." John? Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." Got one more, John? Okay. And Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." You know, over the last few days, did you guys take any time to walk outside and see how beautiful the moon was at night? Yeah, it was awesome, wasn't it? So I see that. Guys, as I said before, those are just some various scriptures acknowledging the sovereignty of God in different ways and in different forms. And like I told you earlier this morning, is that we acknowledge the sovereignty of God, but I believe that we also need to acknowledge the intimacy of the sovereignty of God. And that's one of the things about that video that I showed that really spoke to me, is that Randall had an intimate knowledge, or has an intimate knowledge, of the sovereignty of God. And this morning, as I look at those scriptures, and I'll think about me, and I think about us, and I think about the world we live in, that so often I believe we begin with what's out of control instead of starting with who's in control. We have a tendency to see the news, see the things on the internet and the TV, and think, wow, it is overwhelming, instead of beginning with the one who is truly in control of our lives. So this morning, I have some questions for us as you think about this. So John, go ahead and put the first one up. Oh, I'm sorry, I got one more. It says in Job 1, 6-12, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it.'" I want to tell you something about that I always think is funny. This is probably going to not set well with some of y'all, okay? Every time I read that, "from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it," I think about how we stroll around the malls. I know that's crazy. I know that's probably you're thinking that's ridiculous. Why do you correlate that? Because I think there's areas that are dangerous that we stroll around. Anyway, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." And Satan answered the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. He will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him." So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Before we look at that first question, I want to make sure that I use that scripture to point out something. We know it, but let's own it. Evil doesn't go where? Any place that God doesn't say can't go. Satan didn't have the run of the mill on Job because he was as powerful or more powerful than God. God said, "No, I'm going to allow it for my glory and my honor. I'm going to show you that Job will stand through it all." So I want to make sure we point that out real quick. Evil does not have carte blanche. The sovereign God sets limits. Okay? John, let's go to our first question. How does the sovereignty of God challenge your decision making? Is that is much thought given in the process that God is in total control? So how does the sovereignty of God challenge your decision making? If it does at all, is much thought given in the process that God is in total control? When you're going through life and you're just doing what you do, how does the sovereignty of God play a role in that for you? Yeah, I totally agree with you, and I think for most of us, in that video, they gave an example of Randall being up here and Randall being down here, but one of the things he was saying was that God was in all of it. And you're right, even when just the day-to-day life, going to the store, doing homework, talking to our spouses, that God is still sovereign all that, but acknowledging it. So what else? How does the sovereignty of God challenge your decision-making? Is much thought given in the process of your decision-making that God is in total control? Thinking about what Jesus did for us? Yeah, that's a good one for me too, Daniel, that I think about what Jesus did for me and how am I living my life out for Him. He's going to do what He's going to do anyway. So why, what is going to happen in the process of, if He's going to do it anyway, what's going to happen in the process of us either not saying, "Okay, God, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway," if we choose not to go along with it, or if we do choose to go along with it, what's going to happen in the process of all those things? What's going to happen to us when we choose to either go along or not go along with what He's doing? What's going to happen to us either way? Going to learn to trust more? Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. It's going to be a lot more personal, I believe. What else? That's good. That's a good point. Because I think that's the way many believers kind of acknowledge God in a sovereign way that, well, yeah, what's going to happen is going to happen. I think we become easily callous. Yeah, just recently I was reading, about 2 weeks ago, I was reading in the Old Testament about Joseph, and when this was already was in Egypt, and how God used him to prepare the Egyptians for the coming famine. And I felt that morning after I read that scripture, I thought, okay, God, you're the same one that told Joseph how to get ready. Okay, what do you want to tell me today about getting ready just for today? I mean, just for today. What do you want to tell me about getting ready for today? And when you stop to try to think about that, that's hard for me personally to get my mind around. The same God that spoke to Joseph and revealed those dreams is the same God that's with us this morning, revealing things to us. I really can't quite comprehend that. Okay? My little brain can't wrap, but I trust it as truth. And I move out in that truth. John, let's go to the next one. How should God's sovereignty be a part of your daily life? Now, we've kind of talked about that a little bit, but let's come back to it again. Let's think about it some more. How should God's sovereignty be a part of your daily life and my daily life? People get baptized, I hope, on a daily basis. Okay. Wasn't easy. Okay. How should God's sovereignty be a part of our daily life? That's good. Nothing's too small for God to do, is it? Nor too big. But you know, one of those things I think all those men and women have in common, there's a humility to them. They would not think they're that big of a deal. Okay? God put them in the book. All right, John, let's go. Hey, you need to go get the little thing. We hit that with this thing this morning, and it came back on. The little rubber stopper off a chair. We hit it, and it just came back on. So, anyway. okay. Yeah, toilet paper. That's good, John. If you wouldn't get us so distracted, I'd tell you to give it your best shot. But I know we would never. Daniel and Hamilton are already thinking these people are crazy anyway. So, cheer up. There's more to come. I guarantee it. this question here. Yeah, does his being in total control bring you peace, frighten you, give you courage, or do you feel his control limits you or gives you freedom? I'm following you. The most high and the most nigh God is what we say a lot of times. Done? Well, we should love our neighbors, and sometimes that's the frustrating part because you never know who's going to move across the street from you. Hamilton knows this. Daniel, my parents are right there. They live right across the street from me. So that's the joke. I didn't want you to be left out. I told Hamilton the other day that you guys live across the street from us. So, yes, everybody loves Raymond. Yeah, you got it. You got it. I don't have a brother, though. I don't have a brother. Okay. Amy, I'm an only child. Well, you can identify with that. Only child. All right. Back to our public service announcement here. So, what else? What does being? And you could put any words in there. I just put a few up there, Stephen. Okay. Frightens you. And I think too, part of that is God gently reminds me a lot of times how little control I really have. And it might be something as simple as you run out and the car doesn't start. Uh-oh. Okay, how quickly things that I think I control, how just, it's an illusion. It's an illusion how much I really control. And we know that, we acknowledge that. But yet, how much I live my life as if I really do control so many things. See, that's where that rub, I think, gets. Understand the sovereignty of God and the intimacy of God of, you know, how much do we realize how little we control and we're at the mercy of a good and generous God, thankfully, and not one who wants to punish us and send lightning. It'd be over with quickly, wouldn't it, most days? At least it would for me. Let's look at our last question for this. When was the time you were aware of God's sovereignty protecting or blessing you? Now, we've shared some. Great story, Harvey. But I want to ask that again. When was the time you were aware, you were actually consciously aware that God's sovereignty was protecting or blessing you? I'll tell you this real quick. The only reason why I'm here in Savannah, Georgia on November the 13th, 2011 is because of the sovereignty of God. Because when I came to Savannah, Georgia in 1986, when my mom and my friend from high school got lost and we were downtown Savannah, I said, that is a God-forsaken place. I never want to go there again. True story. Do you remember us getting lost? Eric and my mom and I, we were on the way to Florida. My father had already moved to Florida ahead of us and we were on the way down to see him. I was a junior at the time in high school and we got lost. Came on into Savannah, ate breakfast at that Burger King that sits off MLK. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, see, now you're with me. Now you're starting to understand, okay? And I said, God, that is a God-forsaken place. I never want to go there again. God's sovereignty protected me from me. It is His humor. I agree. The joke was on me, wasn't it? And never tell God, or never say never to God. Yeah. So what about you guys? All right, anybody else on sharing that one? Someone dropped their keys, if you don't know this, in the drain grate at the stadium yesterday. And did you get it out, Dusty? They got it. Better move to our last slide. All right. An oldie but a goodie, Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So how is this verse a testimony to the sovereignty of God? We've said it in some different ways. And I think it's something in that video we watched about Randall Cunningham that touched my heart immediately. He recognized those things immediately. He realized that he had lost a very important game, but it was under the control of God. He lost his 2.5-year-old son. The pool that he now baptizes people in, his 2.5-year-old son drowned in. Yeah. And just understanding that instantly. Because I think so often, particularly us who live in the West, in church culture in the West, we see that verse and where it says, good, all things work together for good to those who love God. Well, we love God, but we substitute words like convenience. We want it to be for our convenience. And like you said, good and frustrated. But that good is really for the glory of God. And that's where that rub, I think, so often comes in. Because we are called according to His purpose. We know that, don't we? Purpose and plan, we talk about all the time. But understanding that it's going to work for His good. And we get to be in the wake of that blessing. So, Alice, is there anything else you want to share about testimony to the sovereignty of God in general, or specifically to that question or any other questions? He's still preaching out in Las Vegas, which good to know. Isn't it good to know there's some believer out, at least somebody out in Las Vegas? Uh-huh. Huh? Got a big job. Yeah, it does. And you can come this afternoon. I don't know what all Daniel's going to share, but he's probably going to share a little bit of that story, I suspect, about being injured and what God's done through that. So for those who don't know Daniel's story, a little bite there for you to come and hear some more of it. So, well, let me pray for us, and we'll be finished. Father, You're just so good. And Lord, we dwell in the goodness of a living God. No matter circumstances, Your goodness does not change. Lord, I pray we've been mindful of that today. You are everlasting and unchanging. And Lord, I pray today what's been of You will find good, fertile soil to produce a bountiful crop for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.